so now the inevitable, but. All right, so I'm going to flip through. If you have some particular question on a question, let me know. This was multiplying 640 by 480 to get the number of pixels, multiplying that by 24 to get the number of bits. This was multiplying 2 by 60 and adding 52 to get the number of seconds, multiplying that by the number of kilobits per second, multiplying that by 1,000 to get the number of bits. Or kilobits. You know, there's this. I have to decide whether to just completely give up on these or not. You want to see it?
Yeah.
You really want to see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, there's
lots of places where you can just kind of slip up. So this is, I thought this was really cute. I mean, probably nobody appreciated it but me. But this is an OR gate. This is acting like an OR gate. So the answer was false, 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 true. No, wait, that's not an OR gate. Help me out. What would that be? False, 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 true.
Yeah.
That would be an AND gate. Yeah, so this is an AND gate. And I didn't know you could make an AND gate with two relays. I thought you needed three. And so I was just dealing around trying to find a combination of relays that would make for an interesting problem, and then I hit upon that. So here's what it does. I think for a lot of people, the issue is not really understanding what all this means. So what's going on here is we've got a circuit, and there's wires going into the circuit, and there's a wire coming out. And each wire can either have power flowing through it or not. This one, this wire, has power going through it, no matter what. Always power on this line. This one only has power flowing through it in the case where A is true. Otherwise, there's no power. B only has power flowing through it if B is true. Okay? Now, we want to know, what does it take for the power to come out C? Well, the only way that can happen is if B is on, and this switch is closed, right? If B is off, there's no way power is going to get to C. It has to flow along this wire and go down. And the only way it can do that is if this switch is closed. When is this switch closed? The switch is closed if this magnet is off. If the magnet is on, the switch opens up. So this magnet has to be off. When is this magnet going to be off? This magnet is going to be off if this switch is open. When is this switch going to be open? When A is true. So if A is true, that opens up this switch, turns off this magnet, lets this switch close, and lets the power from B flow through. So when A is true, in these two cases, the output is exactly the same as B. If B is off, C is off. If B is on, C is on. So this is false true. On the other hand, if A is false, that means this switch is closed. That means power runs to here, turning on this magnet, which opens up this switch, which means it doesn't matter what's going on with B, C is going to be off. So in these two cases, false, false. That's what we get. False, 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 true. Which is an AND gate. I have to decide, because either I got to say more and make you guys get this, or I have to just punt. So I have to decide. Not important. I'm going to be thinking about it. Certainly, if we get to the end of the semester and there's lots of other cool stuff that you guys are thinking about and have learned about and I want to make sure you get it, I don't need to worry about this anymore. If this is all we've, you know, had the chance of learning all semester, then I would like you to get this. So we'll see. All right, I think this one went fairly well. This is C equals A, is the short answer? Yeah.
So why would it be
I took off one tiny little point if you didn't put the short one.
I had both.
What's that?
I had both answers.
Which one did you circle?
The longer one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know what, if it seems really close, I would definitely entertain discussing it with you more. At this point, I think that you're probably not anywhere near a border as far as grades are concerned. So you either have it or you don't, and I don't think it makes a difference. But yeah, I'm happy to talk to you about it more. Just not right now. This is C equals A, but you could also write it in a longer form. This one was, you could write it in a longer form with ands, but there's actually a much shorter form involving an or. It was like, not A or B works for that. But you can also write it out with three clauses and it together. This seemed to go very well. I think most of the mistakes were, for forgetting which direction the bits went in or just kind of miscounting one of the bits. So I don't think there's any conceptual problems here. If there are, if you feel like you just don't get this, talk to me. This also seemed to go very, very well. This also went well. This not so much, but we'll say more about this in a couple minutes. And this actually went much better than I would have thought too. There was a couple people who didn't quite get what these trees are supposed to look like. And one person actually gave me a circuit, which was almost correct, but not the answer to this question. That would have been a different question. So, any questions about this one? Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
For not why?
Like, yes, some people gave me non-literal translations of this, basically saying, oh, I'll give you something that works just like this, but is actually better. And I took off some points for that.
Oh, so we're not supposed to, like, abbreviate?
So in this case, I draw for this formula, not for an equivalent formula, but literally this formula. That was diddly stuff, too. I mean, usually the differences between people who are getting it and not getting it were vast, and so I was just making tiny little distinctions between people who were getting it. I don't mean fast. Yeah, okay.
Is there a chance I get you to draw that tree out?
I think I could do it fast, sure. So, mostly this is an or. Ors always are ors of two things. In the one side it's z, and the other side it's an expression that's negated, so there's a not. A not always is a parent of exactly one thing. I had some people giving me nots of two things, I don't know what that means. It's only not one thing at a time. So, it's the not of an and is an and of two things. On the left side, it's not y. Has anyone seen that Borat movie yet? Is that out? It's not out yet? Did you see the ads where he goes to the knot coach, the humor coach who teaches him how to use the knot? Like, this suit is black, not. But he couldn't do that. It kept coming up, this suit is not black. And variations of that. So every time I draw the tree with the knot now, I'm thinking, this is hand, not. All right, so this is not why. Why not? And then the last expression is an and of two things. On the left side is an x, and on the right side is the negation of the negation of y. Okay. All right? So this is the sort of thing I was looking for. And I gave credit, if somebody gave a tree that was at least a valid tree, I said, okay, that's at least close. Some people gave things that I couldn't interpret as trees, or they had knots with multiple leaves, or they had stuff that went up and down. I didn't know how to read that, so there wasn't much I could do with it. Mostly, people did put these symbols, ors, z's, nots, and ands. Just, you know, people who got it wrong often put them in sort of uninterpretable order. So, all right, anyway, that was the midterm. Bing bang. All right, any last things to say about that? We good for now? I will accept questions by email if you don't want to talk in front of everybody else. All right, what I'd like to do is do a couple clicker questions, and one of the clicker questions will help me understand better what happened with that gate. Oops, the gate, not equal.
Oh,
add gate, yeah, the add gate.
That's not what I said.
No, but it helped me remember. All right, and this is also now, we're going to need a couple minutes to kind of swap back after all the studying and the testing and everything, swap back what we were in the middle of talking about last lecture. So, last lecture I was talking about growth rates, and the running example that I was using is how does the number of syllables you sing grow as the number of verses you sing grow, so different kinds of songs. So just to, I think I either gave this example or something a lot like it. If you're singing N verses of the Clementine song, the number of syllables, how does that grow with n? Logarithmically, linearly, log-linearly, quadratically, exponentially. Loudly. Turn off the happening again.
Should everyone answer bomb the other class?
What's that?
Should everyone answer bomb the other class?
Answer bomb the other class. We could post one of us near the other class where they have clickers, and every time they do it, we'll just announce, "Yeah, everybody, push your clicker." I mean, presumably they're experiencing the same thing right now, that they have some bizarre account that they didn't expect. Actually, we know how many people are in the other class now, too. Okay, all right.
It's not really relevant to what we're trying to do. All right, so get in your last clicks. I have no idea how many people are in, but I'm going to stop this. All right, so each verse of the Clementine song has roughly the same number of syllables, so the total number of syllables is going to be n, the number of verses, times roughly however many syllables there are in each verse, so it's growing like n times a constant. And this big O notation just lets you ignore the constants. The details don't matter. And so that's an interesting looking distribution. The focus was on logarithmic.
Because we're right. Answer bomb.
Oh, because this could have been the right answer in the other class. Thank you, John. Yeah. That may not have been us. This could have been us. The right answer was B, linearly, O of n. So the number of syllables is however many syllables in each verse times the number of verses n, so the growth rate is n.
It's strange. All right. Oh, I think I did these out of order.
So, did anybody go out for Halloween last night? No, not at all. You totally outgrew that. Oh, you did? Okay, all right. Just slow to answer. So I went out with my kids. Actually, my son went out for the first time on his own with friends. That was very scary for me. It was okay for a while, and then at the end of the night, I got in the car and started driving around the neighborhood to see if I could find him. he was fine, it turned out. But anyway, I wore this shirt as part of the costume, and it was supposed to be a tree, because I thought that it had a particular color. But apparently, people tell me it's not the color that I thought it was. So I want to know what color this shirt is. And I don't want to hear from the people in the other class, because they can't even see me. All right, well, you've got 10 more seconds. I know it's not red. I needed 5 choices. 4, 3, 2. Oh, I should say the right answer.
What is it?
I'm telling you what I think it is. All right, stop it. So, now, was that us saying blue?
Yeah.
Is this blue?
It's like gray.
It's light gray. That was one of the choices.
They're wearing a blue tie, though.
I know, the tie. No, I couldn't match a tie to it either because I couldn't tell what it was.
I
thought this was green.
It's not.
But it's not green.
It's definitely gray.
The ladies on my street who were taking their kids around all told me it was blue. And I said, it's absolutely not blue.
It's gray.
We're going to go with gray. Okay. I think it's sort of purple. Did you say purple? No, it's not purple. All right. Phew. All right. So anyway, thank you. Not that this resolved anything. It looks like we're tied between gray and green. Oh, some people like green. Or it's the other class. This is really annoying.
So is it green or gray?
I think it's green, but people are saying gray. But the ladies said we're saying blue, and that I wanted to just make sure that nobody said blue. Of course, people from that other physics people, they don't know how to match clothes. All right. Anyway,
check the tag.
Moving on. Check. I don't think the tag will tell me what color the shirt is, but I'll do that later and get back to you.
You know, like right by your butt, I mean, this thing, pocket, green.
Oh, there you go. Was it dark? Was it dark when you were talking to the ladies?
No, it was the middle of the day.
Oh,
they're like, hey, why are you wearing a blue shirt? All right, anyway, back to growth rate. Which of these functions grows fastest? N log n, n squared log n. Trying to be dressed as the Whomping Willow from Harry Potter. I had branches instead of hands. My daughter was dressed as Hermione, so we were doing a Harry Potter theme. My son was a Dementor. I mean, he really can be quite demented. Okay.
presuming, I think it's just us this time. The number would be higher otherwise. I'm gonna, 3, 2, 1, done, all right. Good, all right, so the two that grow the fastest here are n squared and n squared log n. Log n is something that's a little bit bigger than constant, right? So this log n grows really slowly, but it's still something bigger than 8. There's n that make that bigger than 8, or any constant. So n squared times log n is going to be bigger than just n squared by itself. We're not going to do much with n squared log n, so it's not that critical. N squared is the big one. Not the biggest, but the biggest in this list, or of the ones that come up a lot. All right, what about which one grows most slowly of this list? My son went out with a neighborhood kid who's like a Halloween guru. So it's all about, okay, this street has a bunch of duplex houses on it where there's two people. You only have to go to one house and get two things of candy. So we're going to hit that one, but we have to go on the left side of the street because on the way back we'll hit the right side of the street. And that way we don't have to keep crossing. He's got this huge bag of candy now that I don't know how he's ever going to eat. He probably shouldn't ever eat it. All right, 3, 2, 1. N is the first one on the list. It's not the smallest. So remember, when we take the log of N, it makes it something that's really, really small. Smaller than N. A lot smaller than N. Exponentially smaller than N, to use exponentially correctly. So B is the answer that I was looking for. N is smaller than the rest of them from here down. These are the two smallest. But log N is a lot smaller than N. All right, so do people know the house that Jack built? This is supposedly a famous nursery rhyme. All right, so let me briefly introduce you to the house that Jack built. This is the house, wait, no, this is the house that Jack built. And it goes like this. The first verse is, or paragraph, we'll call them verses. This is the house that Jack built. The second one says, this is the malt, I don't know, it's about beer or something, I don't know what it is. This is the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. That's the second verse. The third verse, this is the rat that ate the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. The next one, this is the cat that killed the rat that ate the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. And it goes on like this until there's a whole lot of people involved that really have no business being part of it.
I want to see.
You want to see the rest of it? It gets a little, this is the dog that worried the cat. This is the cow with the crumpled horn that tossed the dog that worried the cat that killed the rat. This is the maiden all forlorn, you know. This is the man all tattered and torn. This is the priest all shaven and shorn. And it finally ends up, the last verse is, this is the farmer sowing his corn that kept the cock that crowed in the morn that waked the priest all shaven and shorn that married the man all tattered and torn that kissed the maiden all forlorn that milked the cow that with the crumpled horn that tossed the dog that worried the cat that killed the rat that ate the malt that lay in the house of Jack. But you can imagine making it even longer than that. All right, so if we had N verses of this, our question is, how does the number of, let's say lines, syllables should be more or less the same, but how does the number of syllables or lines grow as a function of the number of verses? Does it grow logarithmically, like log of the number of verses? Does it grow like the number of verses? This is the total length of the song, not just a single verse. Log linearly, quadratically, or exponentially, 2 to the number of verses. Oops. 5 more seconds. 3, 2, 1. Okay. All right, so if you look at this guy, first verse has one line, the second verse has two lines, so it's a total of 3. If you just did 2 verses, you'd have 3 lines. If you did 3 verses, you'd have 6 lines. If you do 4 verses, you have 10 lines. Anyway, it keeps growing, and it's growing faster than linearly. In fact, since we're adding one line to each verse, each time it gets one longer, the sum is like a triangle, right? It's like 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8 all the way up to n. That triangle, the area of that triangle is basically the square of the number of verses. So this is quadratic. And we have pretty much a uniform distribution with a slight hump on linear. Okay, so this concept is not yet clear to people. So is there anything you can ask me about this? Can you see why it's quadratic? What's that? The answer is quadratic, so it's D.
D.
Yeah?
How would it be exponentially?
And exponential songs are very hard to come by. But basically, it could be each verse would have to be twice the size of the previous one. So if you have... there's this old puzzle. Have you ever heard this puzzle? So once upon a time, there was this smart aleck guy, who lived in a kingdom with a king who was kind of dopey, but very rich. And the guy said, I could give you lots of money. And the guy says, I don't want lots of money. Here's what you'll do. Take a checkerboard, and on the first day, I want you to give me one grain of... I want you to fill the checkerboard with grains of rice. On the first square, put 1 grain. On the second square, put 2 grains. On the third square, put 4 grains. On the fourth square, put... Anyway, keep doubling that, right? And then once you fill the checkerboard, that's all I'll take. This grows exponentially with the number of squares on the checkerboard, right? Each one is twice as big as the previous one. And by the time you get up to 10, we're talking about 1,000 grains. And by the time you get up to 20, we're talking about like 1,000,000 grains, right? And so by the time you get up to 64 squares on the checkerboard, the king's broke, and he's no longer king. So that would be an example of exponential. So the other quadratic one that I think about a lot, right, so the picture that you should have in your head with this kind of song is verse 1 is 1 line, verse 2 is 2 lines, verse 3 is 3 lines. And as we go out to n, we're talking about something that looks like a big triangle. We're talking about the total number of syllables is the area of this triangle. Right? The area of this triangle is roughly like n times almost n, half of that, so like 1/2 n squared, more or less, is the area of this triangle. So the total number of, as n grows, the total number of syllables that you have to sing grows kind of like n squared. So that's the quickie, short, intuitive notion of what's going on here. Right, songs where each verse is the same length, you get something that looks like this. Each verse is the same, you know, it's roughly the same size as the previous one. The area here is n times 1, n, so it grows like n. So that's linear. If the verses are getting longer and longer by the same amount, then it's going to be a big triangle, it's going to be quadratic. If they're doubling each time, then we're going to get something that looks like the exponential growth, and that'll be exponential. Okay? So this is the example that I think of sometimes. There's this... exercise that coaches make people do sometimes, where you have a series of pylons, a series of little markers on the field, and you run to the first one, and then you run back. And then you run to the second one, and you run back. And then you run to the third one, and you run back. Anyway, you get the pattern here, right? So if there are n pylons on the field, and each one is equally spaced from the previous one, what's the distance that we're going to run? It's going to be like n squared. Because we're going to run out n times, and by, at least by the last one, we're going to run a distance of n markers. So we end up running about n times n markers, or n squared. So this kind of quadratic growth actually comes up an awful lot. So I'm going to keep giving examples of that until it sticks. Or if you have questions, or not. Okay. All right, so this is just, do you remember from the lecture? So if you're going to say a number n, how many syllables are in the number n? I know n sounds like a letter, but what I mean is, if you have a number like n equals 10,000, then the number of syllables is going to be like 100, whatever. It's going to be some amount. And I talked about it in lecture last time. I just want to try to get you to remember that. An equivalent question is, how many digits are in n? Seconds. 5, 4. All right. Same choices that were up on the other one, so just a question of remembering. All right, so the number of digits in the number n, it's not linear, right? So linear would mean that to write down the number 17 would take, you know, like 17 digits. And then if you wanted to write 100, it would take what the 100 did. There is a way of writing numbers that grows linearly. You know what it would be? You know what that's called? If you want to write a number like 500, you have to make something that's 500 long. What's that? You can use, if you just did a series of ones, yeah, what do you call that? And you go,
tally.
Right, so tally grows linearly with the number that you're trying to represent. But normal numbers that we deal with don't grow that slowly. Or sorry, it's that quickly. It grows much more slowly than that. There's only one on the list that's slower than that. It could be log. And in fact, this is the growth rate. Now, this, the growth rate of the number of digits in a number is like the logarithm. Alrighty. Alright, so this is a quote from Newsweek. It said, with Egypt's involvement, the chance for real change, I guess in the Middle East, grows exponentially. When they say grows exponentially in this context, what do they mean? Do they mean increase a lot, or do they mean what they said, which is that the probability of real change in time t is an exponential function of the time? Five more seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Out. Yeah. What's wrong with those people? All right. So this is my opportunity to try to debug what went. Let's say what happened with the add 32 question. All right. So this is a little bit long, but it's not supposed to be complicated. So I just made something up. It's not about computers anymore. Let's factor that out and say, all right, let's say a tech team, we're managers that we're running, I guess we're generals or something. A tech team has 4 technicians, 1 soldier, and 1 officer. A guard squad has 1 technician, 8 soldiers, and 1 officer. Now we have something called a tech squad. A tech squad has 5 tech teams and 1 guard squad put together as 1 group. How many technicians, soldiers, and officers are in a tech squad? Thank you. D. Good. Okay. So this is what I thought. So this wasn't. Oh, you didn't come in yet? I don't know how to let you add in at this point though. What were you gonna say? Sorry. What were you gonna say? D. Excellent. All right. Good. You get full credit for that. So yeah. So good. So this mostly. So were you not in the D category? I won't even ask. Would you like me to justify D?
Yeah.
Sure. I'd be happy to do that. All right. So more people got this right than the corresponding question on the exam. So I take that as evidence that what I thought was the problem was not the problem. All right. So how do you do this? So so what's it? So I don't know. You just picture it. I'll draw it. Four times five, okay.
20.
Right.
And then five
and five. So this would be, so let's make sure we're not leaving anything out. So a tech team is a group. And who's in that group? We've got four technicians and one soldier and one officer. That's a tech team. And then we've got a guard squad. I just made this up. There's probably something like this in reality, but this is just the example that I made. All right, so guard squad is one tech, a whole bunch of soldiers, and one officer. Okay, so a tech squad.
Oh, that's right.
There you go. Right, so a tech squad has a tech team, five tech teams and a guard squad. And each of these tech teams has all those people in it. All right, so you left out the guard squad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so any other questions on this one? All right, so now I'm hoping, well, no, I'm not really hoping, but it's possible that I will now lose people when I go to the next level of question. And that would explain what happened on the test. So now we're talking about a hospital. A floor staff in a hospital has eight nurses, two doctors, and two orderlies. A management base has two doctors, two nurses, three doctors, and one orderly. Now a hospital can have some number of floors in it, right? And so we're going to have a K-floor hospital, a K-floor staff has K floor staffs and one management base. So how many nurses, doctors, and orderlies are in a 10-floor staff? And with that ending music. All right, so, I didn't give as many choices as I thought. Where's choice E? There was no choice E. All right, so yes, so D. D is the right answer. So what's going on here? So,
I think the way on the exam, which is pretty little,
trickier?
Yeah.
It was a little trickier, but not intentionally.
I mean, it was just huge.
The K had K minus one, and I put in a lot of extra information that was just distracting. It was all true stuff and interesting, but not useful for solving the problem. Yeah.
It's easier to think about what you're going to do when you know it's real objects.
Yeah.
People.
And not computer things.
And
but
not,
you can. Okay. So that's right. So that's one thing that I was trying to control for. So nurses, doctors, and orderlies. In the real problem, what was it?
Nurses, And
it was ands, ors, and nots, right? And what are they? You know, that's not anything. But no, they are. They're like things. They're like things that you can build other things out of. They're bricks. It's easier to imagine, I think, when you're talking about nurses and doctors and orderlies, they're like people who have certain jobs. But ands, ors, and nots are like little circuits that have little jobs. they do particular things. Anyway, so yeah, so people seem to do better on this. Let me just talk it through for those who maybe didn't quite get it. The tricky thing here is we almost have a kind of a subroutine, almost a kind of a procedure with K as a parameter. So a K-floor staff has K-floor staffs. Each floor staff consists of 8 nurses, 2 doctors, and 2 orderlies. So when I ask for a 10-floor staff, we're basically saying set K equal to 10 and figure out what you get if you set K equal to 10. So we have 10 copies of the floor staff. In the one on the test, it was like a K add gate that had K minus 1 of a certain other kind of gate. So you had to subtract 1 from it before you multiplied. But other than that, it was the same pattern. But it sounded more technical, I think, because it had computer stuff in it. But this is all I was asking you to do. So maybe now it's clear. Or maybe not. I'm hoping. All right. Very good.